1-800-449-8686. Now, Phil Hendry.
Well, at least one parishioner, one church member at a church in Bellflower, California, called Joyful Union Congregation, is threatening some kind of removal of the pastor there because of a play that is being presented by Joyful Union Congregation, by the church. It is a play being presented by the church's middle school. And I want to bring on the church pastor. His name is Pastor William Rennick. He joins us from Bellflower. Pastor Rennick, how are you?
I'm very good, thank you.
All right, can you tell us about this play?
Well, I would be happy to tell you about the play. It is a play that is known by every church. It is known by every church member. It is the Christmas pageant. And this is the play that is being presented by our children.
Will it feature the children?
Yeah, it features the children from our middle school. It is directed by Ms. Claire Bingham, who is our middle school choir master.
Well, what is the controversy?
I do not know what the controversy is. I know that we are attempting to solve the problems of our church by way of raising money for our church. And at the same time, we are trying to present the story of the life of Jesus Christ.
I understand.
Who is the savior of mankind and was born on Christmas Day.
Well, sir, Pastor Rennick, there are people in your church who believe that you have manipulated the life of Christ.
I've not manipulated the life of Christ at all.
No, but they say that you have changed the Christmas pageant.
I've not manipulated the life of Christ at all. I have not manipulated the life of Jesus at all. That would be a sin against God Almighty himself. And that would be a absolute sin against the children that we are charged with educating.
Well,
that would be a sin against all the people in the church.
All right. Well, I mean, the church... Tell me about this pageant, then.
It is the bringing of the story of the birth of our Savior into modern times. It is the bringing of the birth of our Savior into modern times.
Well, is that the source of the criticism?
The source of the criticism is that we have people in our church who cannot and will not allow our children to grow and allow the story of Jesus to be told.
Well, tell me about the play. This is the Christmas pageant about the birth of Christ.
This is about the birth of Christ. The children put on this play. And I made some suggestions as to modernize the play so that our children would find relevancy. Because right now the life of Jesus is not relevant to our young people. And I have to find a way to bring the life of Jesus to relevancy. What we have done...
All right, but I can't, you know, Pastor, please, you have on the stage a play in which does one of the characters have a bomb strapped to him?
Let me explain this.
Does one of the characters have a bomb?
Let me explain this. We have the birth of Jesus Christ. The three wise men, the magi, who come from the east, come up there, and Jesus has been born. And Joseph is there. Mary is there. All the animals in the manger there. The North Star is shining bright. And one of the magi steps forward and opens his gowns, and a bomb is strapped to his chest.
A bomb is strapped to the chest of one of the wise men.
That is correct, because that is right out of today's headlines. That is right out of today's newspapers. And we tell a story, what if one of these wise men had a bomb strapped to him? Who would have no Jesus today? The Christ child would have died in the manger. And so he steps forward in the play that we put on with a bomb strapped to him.
And then, according to the man that we talked to, Mr. Longley...
Mr. Longley, I believe Mr. Henry needs a doctor.
That's something between you and him. He says that the wise man pulls the fuse, a flash pot goes off, and for people that don't know what that is...
It makes a bright flash.
All right, it's used in theatrics to make a bright flash, and then smoke is released from a smoke machine.
That's correct.
And then the baby in the manger is catapulted out of the manger. Is that correct?
Christ child is catapulted, yes.
is shot into the air.
That is correct, yes, sir.
Okay, well, that's what people are finding more than anything else offensive. Never mind the fact that one of the wise men has a bomb strapped to him.
Hold on, because I want to explain this. This is...
Before you explain this, I want to know something. Were these suggestions that you had...
I was asked by Ms. Bingham if I had anything to contribute to the play.
Were these the suggestions that you had, sir?
I will tell you, I was asked by Ms. Bingham if I had anything to contribute to the play. That's all I'm going to say.
So the bomb goes off, and the Jesus baby is shot out of the manger on a catapult that's loaded with springs. Is that right?
That is correct. That's something that the children worked on, and a couple of our high schoolers helped with.
All right, well, that's what people are finding a fault with.
But the point behind that is that when the Christ child is shot out of the manger, you can catch him, and you can save Jesus every bit as much as he saved you. And that's the part that we love about the story of Jesus, that it don't mean if they're a terrorist, that Bin Laden, Al-Qaeda, any of that mess, Jesus is going to be saved.
So in the Christmas pageant that you're presenting, the wise man steps forward, explodes a bomb on his chest, flash pots, smokes...
Right, all that special effects done by the children.
Okay, flash pot, smoke, and the baby is... Does that represent that Jesus is blown up?
That he's shot. He's blown up, yeah. But he gets blown clear.
Well, one of them said that there was smoke trailing from the... From the baby Jesus. Is that right?
All right. Mr. Edward, what we tried to do...
I'm just asking. Was there smoke trailing? As the baby flies through the air, is there smoke trailing?
We tried to give the look as if the child is smoldering a bit. But that's only because he's saved. He's clear. But we put some dry ice inside of him.
Well, what Mr. Longley said was it looks like the baby Jesus is jettisoned from the manger with smoke coming out of its rectum. Right?
Sir, I will not comment on it.
Well, that's what he said. Isn't that right?
That's what he said because he needs a doctor. We had dry ice in the doll that we used.
Right, that's a doll.
That is correct. To make it look as if there's a little bit of smoke. And we blackened the baby a little bit. Only to make him look like he got blackened from the blast. But that's just to show he's been saved. He's been saved by mankind by hearing the message of Jesus. He's as mad as... And he's a mad because he didn't win a door prize. That's what's wrong with his Longley.
All right, well, then that brings me to the final thing here. When the baby Jesus is blown out of the manger by this wise man with a bomb, anybody that catches him wins a door prize.
That's correct. And let me tell you something. We have raised a lot of money for our church by selling tickets to this version of the Christmas pageant that is straight out of today's headlines.
And finally, the money that you're raising from the Christmas pageant is going to a legal defense that you've mounted. Isn't that right?
Mr. Henry, I want to say I don't think it's right for you to bring this without allowing me to explain.
I'm allowing you to explain. Isn't that right?
Mr. Henry, I was viciously accused of fathering a child by a teenage member of our church. Now, this is slander and libel. And the officious law, I did not father that girl's child. I'm being sued for paternity. This church cannot afford the lawyer, so the church people have generously and charitably donated the money from the school Christmas pageant.
And so the money from the pageant goes to hire an attorney for you to defend you against a paternity suit.
That is correct. We are very proud.
Well, you've got a lot of parents there. A lot of parents wigging out over this thing. Hold on for a minute. Pastor William Renick, 1-800-449-8686 is our number. I've heard a lot of stories down through the years having to do with Christmas pageants. They're mounting one there at Joyful Union Congregation where one of the wise men steps forward with a bomb strapped to his chest, pulls the string, explodes the bomb, the Jesus doll is catapulted out of the manger, and whoever catches it wins the door prize, which I believe is a 21-inch oscillating fan this week. Now, the problem is that all the money that's being raised from this play is going to hire an attorney for this pastor to defend him against a paternity suit that has been filed by the parents of a teenage girl who is pregnant in his church. All of this stuff just cloaked in some obviously not very pleasant publicity. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Is this preacher modernizing the Christmas pageant the right way? And does he have the right to take the money from this pageant and hire a lawyer to protect himself against a paternity suit? 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Hendry Show.
This is the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Well, I got Pastor William Renick from Joyful Union Congregation. You've got a parishioner down there who's angry that you've turned the Christmas pageant, into something that he calls blasphemous.
I think that's a strong word to use when you're not some representative of Jesus on this earth.
Hold on. In your Christmas pageant, you got one of the wise men blowing up a bomb.
Now, if Jesus was alive today, if the Christ child was born today, he would have to put up with that. Or whether someone walk into the manger and blow a bomb up. I mean, that's the kind of insanity that we've got going on.
All right, well, they find that blasphemous, that when he pulls the thing and explodes, the Jesus baby gets catapulted out of the manger and lands in the audience someplace.
That is showing that Jesus can get blown clear.
With smoke coming out of its rear end.
First of all, you've got to understand, we've got high school and middle school children working on this.
Well, you've blackened the child up and the doll up, and you've got dry ice smoke coming out of its rear end as it flies through the air.
Mr. Henry, we are trying to educate our young people to the realities of the world and how it pertains to the living example of Jesus.
All right.
All the kids got to know that. All this stuff. Everybody trying to tell me what to do? All I'm trying to do is raise a couple of dollars because some kid says that I made her pregnant. And that's a load. And that's a blasphemy. You have Jesus flying through the air with smoke coming out of his rear end all day long. Ain't going to hurt Christ. But you know what hurts me? Somebody saying that I did what I didn't do.
That's worse than having Jesus flying through the air blackened from a bomb.
The real Jesus ain't blackened from no bomb.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Let me go to Martha. Go ahead, Martha. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yes, my comment to you, Reverend, is that I agree with you as far as the artistic expression your church is trying to express to the community as far as what's going on in the world today.
Thank you, ma'am.
But you using the funds from that play is grossly inappropriate. That is your personal issue, and I don't feel like...
Because she's attacking the church. When she attacks me, she's attacking the church.
I don't feel like... Well, but it's like, what if you worked for Trump and you got her pregnant? Trump wouldn't be paying for you to be...
I don't know who Trump is. I don't know what you're talking about.
Donald Trump, if you were working for him and you made somebody pregnant in his office, he would not be paying for the lawyer to defend you.
This is a child that was in the church pageant. She played the Virgin Mary. And she comes to me to ask me about sex education. Now, I did not in any way, shape, or form get that child pregnant.
Wait a minute. This is a kid that was in the play?
She played the Virgin Mary, yeah.
Then why did she come to you for sex education?
She didn't know what that meant. What she mean by virgin? And I said, well, it's like I used the old, you put a banana in the mixing bowl, or that one. You see what I'm saying? So that's all that happened there. That's why I get to use that money, because you got to understand, Martha, I am the pastor of this church. As such, I'm the representative of Jesus Christ to all these people. They come to me, they might as well be looking at Jesus.
Well, they...
All these people.
Yeah, and
I'm the shepherd of my flock. I heard them as I please, and I let those people know that I will protect them from the devil and all his legion.
Well, if it was me,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
If it was me and I felt strongly enough about my issue that I was free and clear from having fathered this girl's child, I would feel comfortable paying for these legal issues myself, and I wouldn't put my church through paying these legal fees for me.
Well, let me ask Martha one question. So you're fine with the play. So you're fine with the baby Jesus doll getting catapulted out of the manger with dry ice steam coming from its rear end?
Yes, she said she would. You don't have to pay.
Because it's an artistic expression.
Yeah, that's,
and he's trying to get... He's trying to get the point across of what our world is
right.
is under nowadays.
That's
and I
right.
understand that. We do. I mean, sometimes you have to put a little electric shock into getting your point
and
across.
And if you catch the baby Jesus, you got a door prize. This week is a 21-inch oscillating fan. We got several color televisions and a juicer.
A lot of people I talked to were offended by the notion of catching a flying blackened baby Jesus from a bomb. That's
God,
all I'm
listen,
talking about.
Jesus saved me. I would do anything to save him.
I would
and
say that. Thank you, Martha. You've got
and
the
if
point.
He was, and if he was blackened and blowing across the room, I would try everything in my power
you
to catch him.
That's right. You know, you're a white woman, right?
I'm sorry?
You're a white woman, right?
Yes.
You are unusually intelligent. I don't mean that because white people are very intelligent. But I don't come across a lot of white folks that get it like you do. Like jazz, you know, most white people are here to have jazz introduced to them by black. What the hell is that? Well, it's jazz. Oh, all right, I get it. But you get
not
it away.
Not only am I white, but I'm Catholic, too.
You into jazz? You know, I'll tell you something.
All right, hold. Thank you very much. 1-800-449-8686. We're talking with Pastor William Renick about the Christmas pageant that they've got where the baby Jesus is exploded in the manger. Here is Ethan on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, Ethan.
Yeah, hey, Pastor.
Yes, sir.
You say when your congregation looks at you, they should see Christ?
Yeah, that's right, because I'm the representative of Jesus Christ on this planet.
Yeah, well, let's send you flying through there with flames coming out of your butt. See how you like it.
See me do what?
See, I don't
No, think no, no, no. That, first of all, that's not flame. What happened is the wise man blew up a bomb, sent Jesus flying through the air.
Yeah, but that didn't happen. Jesus isn't living right now. Jesus is alive and well, and we know that.
Yeah, but if he was being born right now, some crazy Arab would walk in there with a damn bomb, blow his ass halfway to hell.
But he's not living right now. He's not being born right now.
Yeah, what's
and no,
the...
he wouldn't be sent straightway halfway to hell, because Jesus lives in heaven.
That's right.
If you get your head out of your rear end, you'd know that.
Well, wait a second, that's an expression. I'm just saying... And the other thing, he said, if Jesus get blown up in the air, wouldn't you catch him?
Yes, I would catch him.
Yeah, you're right. And that's what we're trying to say. Jesus gets his ass blown out of the manger, you're going to be there to catch him like the kickoff at the Alabama-Auburn game.
Yep, yeah, but let me tell you something. You really sound like a preacher.
What's that?
You sound like a nice pastor, the way you're sitting there cussing on the air.
Well, I don't mean to cuss, brother, and I apologize to you.
Well, let me ask you this.
I apologize to you. I get worked up. During the first show, the baby Jesus accidentally caught on fire and flew through the air and burned three people. So it's not all, you know, goodness and light. That's all I'm saying.
Well, let me ask you this. When your congregation looks at you, when they look at you, they should see Christ. Do you think Christ would slip up and cuss?
Yeah, I think he probably would. I mean, I'm going to check it out. Well, check this out. He go to the temple. He sees the money changers, he probably said, well, you dirty. Oh, man, I bet you he let loose with a string of some pretty good four-letter words. He see all them money changers. Hell, he kicked half their asses out of there, didn't he?
Let me ask you this.
Yeah,
did Jesus ever sin?
Jesus never sinned. Jesus never sinned. In fact, he said, "Let ye who are without sin cast the first stone, Ethan." I think Jesus should have picked up a rock and threw it, because he was the only one there that was without sin.
That's right, he was the only one never sinned.
Why didn't he pick up a rock and throw? I never could figure that out.
I don't know why he didn't.
Because he was a man of love.
I don't know why you're defending the way you're living.
I tell you what, if Jesus saw that wise man with a bomb strapped to him, I bet he'd say, "Holy Jesus, I bet you anything."
No, actually, right. Jesus would probably pray for him.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Pastor Renick in there, a Christmas pageant with the exploding Jesus. Phil Henry Show.
One 800-449-8686. And now, Bill Hendry.
1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show with Pastor William Renick. A play that is being the Christmas pageant that's being presented at Joyful Union Congregation, which is where the pastor is the pastor, is a play in which the baby Jesus is exploded out of the manger by a wise man with a bomb strapped to him. The plastic Jesus is thrown through the air with smoke trailing. The baby is blackened with smoke trailing. It's supposed to be caught by a member of the crowd. I mean, there are people who are offended by this, Pastor.
And why, Mr. Henry, why is it that we've got members of our congregation who have asked me to have their child play that role?
Oh, come on. No, Mother.
I'm telling you that they believe it is the perfect statement of a world gone mad.
Well,
we got a world today that's gone insane. You got Bin Laden or whatever the hell his name is. He's hiding in a cave right now because he just blew up all of New York City. You got the Pentagon and Anthrax too. And I'm telling you, our young people put together a play that makes a comment on that. And by the same token, makes Jesus into a very contemporary figure.
I don't believe that you got mothers volunteering their babies to be thrown through the air.
You call me a liar?
I'm not calling you a liar.
And I'll tell you right now, I can put you in touch with three women. Said to me, Pastor Ray, I'll be proud if you take my kid and you chuck his ass right through the sky, because I know that what that means is Jesus Christ will be illuminated and Jesus Christ will return to earth in a rapture.
And the money you're raising goes to an attorney to protect you from a paternity suit from a teenager who said you fathered her child.
That's a vicious lie. I'm almost certain I did not father that.
Oh, you're almost certain. Hold on. 1-800-449-8686. Victoria, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead.
All right. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, ma'am.
The Reverend just made a comment about how the world was insane, and I'm appalled and insulted by that statement, because being a pastor and his church, they are participating in the insanity.
Oh, no, ma'am, no.
No, you let, listen, listen. You let me, okay, let me finish.
Let the lady finish.
Let me finish, and then I will let you talk.
I want to be able to say something after she does.
Okay, that's fine.
I will let you talk, but I want you to listen to me.
I think you are blaspheming me.
No, sir, let me tell you something. You tell me that you're a man of God, and I know, let me tell you something. No one can judge, and that's Christ's job, but let me tell you something. I don't believe with all my heart that Christ would approve of this. I rededicated my life to God 9 months ago, and I want you to know that I'm hurting listening to what you and your church are doing.
I'm illuminating people. I'm bringing light into their lives.
You're not bringing light into the world. You
wrong?
Are adding to the insanity.
What did I do wrong?
Do you really feel that Jesus wants to be portrayed in that aspect?
What aspect?
The aspect of your play. Do you think he really wants to be portrayed? Especially when we have these children out here that
I got people lining up that want to catch the smoking Jesus.
But you know something?
I'll tell you something.
You've made it a circus.
You ever been to a wedding and seen the crazy ass broads trying to catch a bouquet?
And you know
you
something? Let me tell you something.
Trying to catch that smoldering Jesus.
And let me tell you something. You tell me that you're a man of God and the cursing that you're using.
Yeah, the language you're using, Pastor.
Oh, come on, everybody, just loosen your girdle up a little
bit. Honey, that's not the way it is.
I want to tell you something. I get on my knees every night and pray to God that I'd be a better man and a better leader and a better shepherd of his soul.
Well, are you listening to the advice that he tells you?
Don't you think that Jesus wants to fly into the arms of his people? Don't you think that if he were on fire, smoldering and flying through the air, he wouldn't want somebody catching him?
Yeah, but I got to...
That's not the story, Reverend, and I will add this. It's
how you
so
know
easy
Christ
today. It's so easy to be a reverend. Anyone can be a reverend.
Wait a
but
second.
Are you God called? Let me tell you something.
Now let me ask you, watch Hee Haw. God didn't tell you to do that, did he? The reason
what?
I use crude, I said you watch Hee Haw, but Jesus didn't tell you to do that, did he?
I don't watch Hee Haw.
Oh, come on.
Who are you, sir?
Ma'am, who am I? My name is William Renick. I was called before Jesus Christ, the blood of the Lamb.
And you're going to have to answer
people.
To Jesus Christ.
Well,
Anyone, Reverend Renick, that you lead astray because of this ridiculous play.
You've got smoke coming out of Jesus' rectum, as you put it.
You know what? I mean, I wish that every American citizen right now would pray for this man and his church, because I'm telling you, it breaks my heart. It literally breaks my
heart. Oh, come on. You got, are you telling me your life is that empty that this breaks your heart? Some smoldering black Jesus right here?
I feel so sorry that you all are led down such a wrong path.
I asked you if you watched Hee Haw, and you lied to me and said you didn't.
I watched it when, 30
there
years ago? I don't watch it now.
Yeah, I told you lied. You lied.
You know, let me tell
Wait
you
Wait a minute.
Something.
You asked her she was watching Hee Haw now.
I said, you watch Hee Haw, God didn't tell you to do that. She said, I don't watch Hee Haw.
When I was 8 years old, I'm almost 45 years old, that was on the television in the room that I was in. You see a few
your life
things
like
of it.
A man's life is like a river. It is the same life at the brook as it is at the big delta. It's
you know,
the same life at the stream as it is the broad shoulders of a river. And
first
you watch Hee Haw when you 8 years old. You watch Hee Haw now. What's that?
But I think what you're doing, I think you're going to pay for it. And I
pay
think that
it.
You're going to wake up one day.
I'm getting sued.
Well, you know what?
15-year-old brother.
Let me tell you something. If you were truly a man of God, don't you think God would take better care of you than that?
God sends all things to judge man as a test man.
You know something?
God
what's
sends
he doing? What's
man.
He, what's
no,
he
like
doing?
Never had
you
bad.
Have this insidious play.
What's that?
What is he doing? What message did you get to have this play to portray Jesus in something that you're supposed to tell the story the way it was?
I got
paying
big time to see the smoldering Jesus.
That is so pathetic.
And what I'm trying to do is show
people. I can tell you one thing. I will pray for you.
Hey, let that Bin Laden come up to Jesus, try to blow him up. No way. Because the people are catching fire.
Forget that stuff. For God's sake, there's been war for years.
Yeah, there's been war for
years. I'm telling you,
I wouldn't touch that 15-year-old nasty ass of your husband.
Christ.
What?
You are blaspheming Christ.
Oh,
you
now we got
be
to
proud
it.
Of you. And let me tell
now
you
now,
this is getting you, this is getting you publicity.
Just because I got you to admit
publicity
you watch Hee Haw and Petticoat Junction, now you upset with me. Nugget man.
You know something? You're not even,
you're nuts.
Intelligently, sir.
I'm talking away.
I'm
man.
Telling you that the wrath of God's going to pour on you like
wrath
you wouldn't
believe.
The
wrath of God's already pouring on me. I'm getting sued for knocking up some 15-year-old
chicken. You have no idea what's going to lie in your future because of what you're doing right now.
I'll
you are
you
planting
right now,
bad seeds.
I'll tell you right now, the people are catching Jesus flying through the air every night because they want to catch Jesus.
Well, wait a minute, but they're getting a door prize for catching Jesus.
All right, so what? So they get a 21-inch fan.
Do you not honestly? I mean,
hey,
that's kind of
something.
Like
what?
I just can't believe that you would cheapen Christ in that manner.
He
is sacred. He is so sacred.
Let me
and
ask
I cannot
you
believe that you're making a. This is a circus. This is a cheap.
What's Roy Clark wearing today?
What?
What's Roy Clark wearing today?
Oh, get off the hee-haw cracks.
See,
you?
I'm going to tell you something.
Everything with the hee-haw.
Let me tell you something, sir.
Right, and then I got to
you know
take
what?
A break here.
I don't really feel sorry for you.
Buck
I think you're
too.
A very sick rat.
I'm a rat.
I think you're
I'm a rat. You know something? You must hate black people.
I love
black
people.
I finally found out what your problem is. You hate black people.
No, I don't
yeah,
like.
You call
I
me a rat.
Approve.
Killing them in the book. And
I don't
was,
approve
she was
of
commenting
anyone.
On Jesus.
You don't like a black Jesus flying through the air. I bet you wouldn't like a black man flying through the air either. I bet you don't even fly on planes.
Go, wait a second.
What? You have to say these things.
I got a black in Jesus.
You have to say these things because you have no ground to stand on.
And out in front of your church, out in front of your church is the little sign that says, come see the smoldering Jesus, doesn't it?
I don't recall putting that sign
up. You don't recall putting that sign up? All right, look at Victoria. Thank you.
Would a black Superman bother you?
Thank you very much.
All
right, okay. All right, okay.
Jesus Christ is not proud of you.
Okay, we got to run. 1-800-449-86. Would a black Superman bother you? Phil Hendry Show.
Show.
Comedy Gold.
Hey, young brother, did you ever go on a bivouac?
Did I ever go on a game show?
Bivouac.
Did I whack?
Bivouac. B-I-V. Tell them what it is, Bill.
It's a bivouac when you go out and you camp as a soldier.
Yes, sir, we do at Bradley Military Academy. We have two field trips a month.
Two field trips? How long do you stay out?
Well, last week we went to the Museum of Natural Science, and then we went to Dodger Stadium.
Oh, my.
Now, bivouac is when you camp.
Oh, yeah, we went up to Mammoth.
What did you sleep in?
At one of the cabins.
Oh, and what did you eat?
Well, they had a buffet every night, and then they had a breakfast and a dinner buffet.
What did you sleep on?
On a bed. I don't understand these questions.
It's too bad that you didn't look at the History Channel last night and see what we went through with the infantry in World War II, laying in the damn. I was in Africa, and I was in Italy, and then I did the invasion of France.
Yeah.
And if you want to see what the hell it was like there, you should have seen the thing on History Channel last night.
Oh, yeah?
I laid up there for 40 days at a time.
You did what?
I laid up at the front for 40 days at a time, kept moving.
Well, you're one of our veterans, and I honor your contribution to the great freedom of our country, sir. Sir, could I ask your opinion? Don't you think we could effectively use our females as deep cover agents on account of they could sleep with Iraqis and give them venereal disease?
Are you thinking of...
What?
He must have been reading that thing. I think about there was something about the
you can
French
have
woman
go
that
up
did
there.
That in World War One.
And they, yeah, Mata Hari, and she give them clap.
Yeah.
All right,
no,
young brother,
that isn't like that.
Hey, Bob, hang on the line because I've got Lloyd calling in. And Lloyd, you're a veteran of what?
Yes, sir. I'm a veteran of the Korean conflict.
The Korean conflict.
Yes, sir. 1950-1952 as a Chosin Reservoir.
I know what you went through.
You better believe it, buddy.
You know, another one I went through there is the actor James Garner.
Who's the guy that was the general? I can't remember him now. But
at your time?
Yeah. He was your guy, too.
You mean Clark?
No, not that guy. The other guy. Who was he, Phil?
MacArthur?
Was that it?
Well, MacArthur was in the Pacific.
Why was he
your T.O.? I was in the Mediterranean.
Was James Cagney? Where was he?
James Cagney.
You know something?
Garner.
Hey, Bob, let me tell you what I read. That Cagney was a slacker. He didn't go in when the other guy, Jimmy Stewart, he got his ass shot off.
He was a bombardier.
Yeah, that's right. And the other guy.
Mark Gable was a gunner.
Mark Gable?
Yes, he did five missions.
I'm not familiar with him.
He did five missions.
And he did.
And there was a fellow that died.
And a friend of mine died. We were pulling out of Chosin Reservoir, and here come the Chinese. But I'll tell you, that guy, and I forget his name, who's the guy that ran the whole thing?
MacArthur.
No, the other guy, the bald one that became, I can't remember anymore. He's talking about Eisenhower. That's it.
Eisenhower, I don't think was that time.
Eisenhower a general in the World War One?
No, you stupid. Mr. Henry, could I say, this Bob is a veteran, and I am too, and this brat, I would love to take a piece of piano wire, because this is what we used to do to the Chinese. We'd take a piece of piano wire and strangle them till their yellow tongues fell out of their heads.
Jesus!
Hey, tell them how we slept.
How we slept?
Yeah, tell them we slept.
I got some of that Fraulein coochie and the...
Okay, wait a second. Not talking about who you slept with.
No, not slept with. Tell them how
got
we slept in
of that
the foxholes in the goddamn slip trenches.
I slept in a... Well, I was in the Navy, so I slept in a...
Oh.
Yeah.
Then you were lucky. You had a nice bed and you had warm coffee.
Yeah, you got to eat steak and eggs and everything.
Well, listen, you little brat. When we went to the Korean conflict... In 1950, and the Chinese were coming over that peninsula, and the Marine Corps was sticking out like a sore thumb, and we went and got those boys out of there. And I can tell you, we used to take hot branding irons. And what I'd love to do to you with a piece of hot... Oh, God.
All right, well, let's...
Take it easy.
You know, my wife died 2 years ago, and I've got a blood pressure problem. But my hat's off to the World War II boys. You guys really did it.
Last night on the History Channel, tell this young fellow, if he get last night
did
on
you
the
get
History
a purple
Channel
heart?
About the infantry, How they slept
kid,
in the how
the
they
infantry slept.
Slept
in the foxholes. It was on the History Channel.
I oh, you
got
saw
it
that
already.
With,
I
the,
got
with
it.
The rain, eating sea rations.
The rain and eating sea rations. Uh huh. What else?
You mean what else?
And freezing, Andrew freezing, and when it was warm, it was sweaty.
Hey, let me ask you something, buddy. You play cards?
I used to.
Yeah, you want to hook up and play some canasta? I'd love to just hook up and,
the only thing I ever played was poker.
Yeah? Did you ever get some of that Fräulein Kuchen?
Okay,
No, I know. I did not go to Germany.
Right.
I did Africa. I did the invasion
of
Salerno.
I bet both of you old farts came home with a dose.
That's a real disrespectful thing to say.
What is he saying?
He said we both came home with a dose.
What's the matter with that kid? Is he playing with himself?
Well, did you or did you not?
No, God's sakes, no.
I admit it, I did.
You
know who gave it to me? It was one of these Japanese gals. And I came back with the drip. Oh, man.
I didn't, no. I was lucky. I followed the orders. I got the condom when I left with the damn.
Well, that's what you're supposed to do. Follow the odor and put on a condom.
He didn't say follow the odor. He said follow the orders.
Oh, I got you.
All right. Bob, God bless you.
Well, listen, Phil,
thank
I don't want
much,
to keep
sir.
On there, but...
Nah, you're great. You're a great man.
Phil.
Yes, sir.
To tell this kid what a bivouac is if he goes out in the
I
field...
I never heard of it.
If he goes out in the field and he sleeps in the
That's
ground
right.
there...
That's right.
...regardless of the weather...
And let me tell you what, I fathered 3 kids in Asia, and I'm proud of every one of them. I haven't seen them since 1954, but I've whacked, I whacked my biv...
All right, listen, yeah.
I don't know. You were lucky.
There's 4 different women.
You were lucky,
kids
fellow.
4 women.
All right, oh. Bob, you're a good man. Thank
you
for your service to our country. What's
you
that?
You want to hear something funny, yeah, Phil?
Go ahead, pal.
My brother-in-law was up at the line for about 40 days. And he comes back there, and they give him a physical examination to see the VD.
Wait a minute. What are you doing?
This is a training film for the ladies in the deep cover.
Oh, what the hell is the kid doing?
What? Okay, Bob.
Are you finished?
I went
there for about 40 days, and he comes back, and they give him an examination.
Oh, yeah?
I don't want to say over the air, and
yeah.
He starts to drip.
Holy sweet mother
of
God. How about that?
Wait a minute. The guy says, this is the guy's on the truth. So I said, what the hell do you mean? I'm up at the line for 40 days. I haven't moved my bowels in 14 days.
Holy jeez. How about that? That's the army for you, though. Well, got to get going now. I got to go. My wife's being cremated today.
Oh, Jesus.
Well, you know how it is.
I had that. I've cremated my wife.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah.
Where'd you put the ashes? I got to keep them in my
car. I'm keeping the ashes for me, and the kids are going to throw me over into a place called Peconic Bay, Long Island.
That's what happened one day, though. We were going to take the ashes of my uncle out, and they threw me over a cliff and forgot to throw the ashes. And
all right. Thanks a lot there, Bob.
The Phil Hendry Show, brought to you by XM Satellite Radio. XM Satellite Radio is here and it's available at your local electronics stores. 1-800-449-8686. And now, here's Phil Hendry.
You know, with all of the talk of the molestations, I felt like I had to say something.
All right, hold on, Bobby. Phil Hendry with Bobby Dooley. The Springtacular is on the schedule at Western States Homeowners Association, although you are sick. Is that right?
Yes. I have really just been sort of under the weather since this last...
Now, what happened? You guys were planning your Springtacular, and you say you've been emotionally molested, Bobby? Is that... Am I...
Well, I feel all of the talk over what's been going on with these priests, all of the talk over what's been going on in the Middle East, the suicide bombings, the molestations... I was sitting with very dear friends of mine, and we were talking about what kinds of cars we were going to get our sons once they turned 16. Now, we have 5 boys in our neighborhood who are all going to be turning 16 within about a month of each other.
All right.
And I mentioned that Seth, Steve and I, we're looking at the Yukon Denali for Seth.
Wow, that's a nice car for a kid.
Well, Sally Caruso said she and Tom, and you know Sally, right?
I've met her, yeah.
They're looking at a Silverado for their son, and Gretchen was looking at the Thunderbirds. But Janice Greeley, and I've known Janice and Ray for about 5 years, and I know they've visited you at the station when I asked you, Phil, and you were very gracious.
Yeah, we had her, and I think I met their son, Kyle.
Right. They said, and I really...
Well, if you need a glass of water...
No, I'm just... They said they were going to get a used car. And...
For their son, Kyle.
For their son, Kyle. We were all talking about what kinds of cars we're going... Phil, you have to understand, we live in Western Estates. Our homes are worth around $1 million. We have 5 and 6,000 square foot homes. We're all very good friends. We're talking about the cars we're going to get our sons for their 16th birthday. And Janice says that she and Ray are going to get their son a used car. And I felt, as I'm feeling now, I felt nauseous. I felt embarrassed. I felt emotionally molested. I said to her, of all the things that...
Can I ask what's wrong? You live in an upscale neighborhood.
Yes, Phil, this is not like you or I don't know. I don't want to set myself apart. We don't do that where we live. Our boys, when they turn 16, I mean, I don't understand what the nature of your question would be.
I'm going to ask you. You're getting your kids brand new cars?
Yeah, they're turning 16.
No, I know they're turning 16, and I know that's the legal driving age in California and elsewhere. They're getting brand new cars.
Phil, I really...
Are you playing dumb?
Who's that?
Steve, hold on.
Are you playing dumb? Or?
No, sir, I'm not playing dumb. I don't know what you mean. So this lady, in other words...
Janice and Ray said they're getting their son a used car. Now, we're all buying new cars. They said they were going to get him a used Buick. You look at what's going on in the Middle East, with people being murdered, the priests molesting boys, and a very dear friend of mine, who I've known for 5 years, says, oh, we're going to get a used car for our son, when she knows we live in a community with 6,000 square foot homes. She knows we live in a community with 1 million...
So you, not to interrupt...
But still, the home that... We just had our home appraised. 1.1.
We just had appraised L.A. County.
All right. I mean, I guess I could say congratulations, so that means you're paying more in taxes. And so, therefore...
Well, therefore, Phil, you know...
Don't get a used... Kids turn 60.
I guess it doesn't...
Phil, we have an awful lot of people from Hollywood that are scouting locations in our neighborhood. Michael Lehman, the director, was here scouting a location last week. We have a lot of very high-level contacts. And when Janice said that she and Ray were getting their son a used car, I know how those women felt who'd been molested by priests or the people in the Middle East who have been blowed up by every kind of suicide.
Hold on a minute. My wife's going sick.
Are you having health problems because of this?
Janice Greeley may as well.
All right, look, I'm going to give our number up, 1-800-449-8686. Now, you're the president of a homeowners association. Does that give you the right to tell your sons what you told them?
We don't have to have garbage cans driving down our street. So.
But does that give your sons, does that give you the right to tell your sons what you told them?
All right, look, I know it's best for Janice. I'm a very good friend of hers. I told the boys to invite some of the kids from school. And for $1, you can take 3 swings at the kid's car with a sledgehammer. They're going to be out of town this weekend. And I know it's best for her.
These people are going out of town, and this boy bought this, they bought their son this car.
They bought their son a used car against my wishes. I told them not to. And
don't you think they have the right to do this?
No, not in our homeowners association, Phil. I am the president. And they bought the car. Now,
yeah, but you've got your boys inviting kids over from the high school, taking swings at it with sledgehammers.
That is correct. and I'm very conflicted about this.
Bobby, it's vandalism.
Phil, we have no choice. I thought about the whole vandalism thing, but then I realized we're a gated community. We have our own security, so they can help with that. But I think the integrity of our community is far more important than Janice and Ray and their kid being selfish, embarrassing us with their used Buick in front of their Bougainvillea phase home with its 4,000 square feet.
And how do you explain what happened to their son's car when they come back from their vacation? So these kids, and for a dollar, you giving the money to charity?
We are giving it. We're going to, Phil, I'm the president of the Homeowners Association. I can make a judgment call on what's best. And I know what's best for Janice. When I tell her this is best, she'll come around. All I have to do is bring up the last disagreement. She wanted to have a baby, Phil.
All right, I want to give her number out, okay?
But I want to get this started.
All right, hold on. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Bobby and your husband Steve is there?
Steve's here, yeah.
All right. You guys were talking about buying new cars for your sons on their 16th birthday, which is fine. But one of your friends is buying a used car, and now you're going to take a sledgehammer to it.
Because she is molesting the very place that we live in, and because of her friendship with me, she has molested me. And the suicide bombing...
Well, I don't know how you draw those two things together, but the point that I'm trying to make here is you've told your sons to take sledgehammers to this car.
Yes.
What are you going to say to your friend when she comes home from her vacation and sees this?
Phil, all I have to do...
What are you going to say to your friend when she comes home from her vacation and sees this?
All I have to do is a reminder of our last... She wanted to have the baby. I told her that an abortion was the best thing. Ray had lost his job. He didn't have the money. The abortion was tough, but she desperately wanted a girl. It was a girl, but that's all right. And
all right, so you talked her into having an abortion.
And it was for the best thing. They have Kyle. They have the boy. They're very proud of him. The thought of a used car in our community... Who knows where the Buick has been? I don't understand.
What do you mean? I don't understand you.
Well, you're not like us, Mr. Henry.
I don't know. Are you our kind of people? We're buying our boys cars for their 16th birthday. You know what that means, right?
Yes. 16 is the driving age in the state of California and across the country. Yes.
So we're buying our boys cars.
What's wrong with a...
Phil, it's a used car. You don't know where it's been. You don't know who's been driving it. You don't know how you may be endangering the community, bringing that thing into our neighborhood. Now, they brought it in. They bought it against my wishes. I told her, I said, you remember the abortion. I was right then. I'm right now. I have been in a sick...
My wife's been very ill.
No, I have been in a sick bed for 2 days. I have had heart palpitations. I can't breathe. Oh, God.
All right, hold on. 1-800-449-8686. I got to take a phone call. Steve, is she all right?
No, I am fine, but I think what you're doing is very unfair.
Hold on. Leslie, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hi.
Yes.
I cannot believe what I'm hearing.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot believe that somebody...
No, you understand. We have a homeowners association.
Let your wife talk, okay?
I'm right here.
Let me finish. I cannot believe what you're saying. You feel that owning a Buick is molesting you, and that this
I
is wrong.
I was emotionally molested by a very dear friend of mine.
Give me a break. This is the classical example of an elitist attitude that corrupts society.
Wait a minute. Leslie.
Yes.
What do you mean? I want to ask Mr. Dooley. What do you mean the suicide bombing?
So our world is being rocked by every kind of molestation. Now, these Catholic priests are only the tip of the iceberg. I was fondled by a very dear friend of mine.
This has nothing to do with molestation.
Mm-hmm.
What you're saying is twisted. The fact that you compare molestation to owning a Buick, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
Got a used car.
We are buying...
Oh, sorry, used car. I don't care if you live in a $1 million home. People have the right to own what kind of vehicle they want.
You know, may I bring up...
Pardon
me, Leslie. When I was 16, my first set of wheels was a Honda 50.
Phil, please.
Don't give me that working class hero bullcrap.
Please, Phil, we are talking about...
Oh, I see. So it's working class hero bullcrap, huh?
We are talking about... Leslie, where do you live?
Actually, you know what? I live in a very elite neighborhood in Coral Springs, Florida. Florida,
mm-hmm.
where the average price house was $700,000.
Mm-hmm.
The reason that half the kids were on drugs there,
mm-hmm.
and people were committing suicide left and right, was because parents like you spoiled the children and gave them a wax sense of what is real and what is right in the world.
How dare you? Please. My son, Seth.
Uh-huh.
Is the captain of his soccer team.
That's great.
I have been fondled by a very dear friend.
What are you going with this, I've been fondled?
This has nothing to do
okay.
with the Buick.
When we got together planning our Springtacular, I said I'm buying my boy a Yukon Denali. Gretchen said they are weighing the Thunderbird. And Jenna says, we're going to get him a used car. There's a Buick at Ray's work. Oh, my God.
You know,
you're
absolute insanity that we have reached a point in our society where kids are turning 16 and getting new cars.
How dare you?
How dare you, ma'am?
Do you have a son?
What does your kid have to look forward to now that he's got everything now and he's 17? What is he going to look for in his life that his mom and dad handed to him? You know, what am I going to do now?
You know something? I don't really mean any offense, but have you ever driven anything that hasn't had a bench seat?
Excuse me?
All right, just as I thought.
I've driven a Denali. You know, that is the stupidest thing. My friends have Denalis. My friends have Lexuses. Do I care? No.
Mm-hmm. Well, so I think you don't think that 16-year-old boys who have to impress... There's an awful lot of young ladies out there, and now's the time.
All you're doing is perpetuating the fact that we're all shallow and we have nothing deeper to offer than a vehicle we drive. Oh, that's great. I'm glad that you're teaching your kids to put how they feel about themselves on exterior objects. If that really matters, but
my
not what's
best
inside.
Friend, my best friend at a meeting of our Springtacular might as well have shoved her hand down my pantyhose for what she
what
did.
What does that have to do with driving a used car?
Because we said, in our neighborhood, new cars. I have contacts in Hollywood. Michael Lehman, the director, was here.
Okay.
You get it? No, I guess you don't. Because in your neighborhood, they don't have movie production.
I have best friends that are movie stars. And I'm not going to throw around names like you do because that just shows how low class you are.
Richard
Appel. Lots of money doesn't mean
Richard
lots of class.
Richard Appel, the very big producer.
Wait a minute. All of the producers in the world and all of the movie directors in the world still don't explain how you feel like it was a suicide bombing for your friend to buy a Buick.
Yeah. It makes no sense.
Oh, you know something, Leslie? God bless you. I'm a Christian. And I really wish the very best for you. But I really think that you should keep your nose out of our business.
So why are you on the radio?
No, yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
I got
you
on the air.
You're the only one in your business. Mm-hmm. You shouldn't have called.
I didn't call. I was invited on as a guest.
No, I thought you were going to talk about your fashion show. I didn't know we were going to get that. All right, Leslie, I got to take a break. Thank you for your call. 1-800-449-8686. Bobby Dooley is the president of the Western Estates Homeowners Association. Her husband, Steve Dooley. They took sledgehammers to the used car of a best friend's son because they don't like used cars in their neighborhood. They feel it devalues the property, jeopardizes their contacts with Hollywood, who may want to do film production in their neighborhood, and overall breaks the CCNRs of their homeowners association. She compares having that used car in her neighborhood to having been fondled by her best friend, and her husband compares it to the suicide bombings in the Middle East. Now, I've been doing a lot of radio shows for a lot of years. I've never heard any such thing. And let me just say, and I'll run the risk, yes, of sounding like the working class hero. My first car was a hand-me-down from my sister. It was her Volkswagen.
Oh, boo-hoo.
I beg your pardon?
Boo-hoo. Cry me a river.
Cry me a river, Phil. Cry me a river.
My first car...
Cry me a river. This is a new... hello, this is 2001, not 1960, whatever. I'd rather have an abortion through my nostril than have a used car jeopardize every high-level contact.
I agree, Bill.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. I'd rather have an abortion through my nostril. This is the Phil Henry Show.
Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
On the line with me, Bobby and Steve Dooley. And I didn't know, Bobby, that you're in the hospital, so forgive me, okay? Steve told me that you had taken ill. I didn't know that you took ill as a result of this conversation you had with Janice Greeley.
So you can understand that I had a reaction to this betrayal when we're all buying our son's new cars for the 16th. This is something that we do. Okay?
No, if you want to buy your son a car for his 16th birthday...
you know something? Hold on for a minute. Steve, I know what's going on. No, I know what's going on. There is jealousy as the result of...
No, wait a minute, Bobby.
No, Phil, there is jealousy. Because my husband has a wildly successful landscaping business and is able to purchase a...
Everybody's jealous because I can buy my son a car.
Everybody's jealous? I don't know that everybody's jealous, okay?
In fact, my wife got molested.
Everybody in the news everywhere, Phil, people are molested everywhere. Why can't I be? See, that's what I'm saying.
Okay, 1-800-449-8686. Lenny, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead.
Hey, I was just wondering...
Mm-hmm.
I was just wondering how how you can feel jealousy with people that I don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me how you feel jealousy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a 27-year-old guy, and
you're jealous
work
of me, Lenny. You're jealous of the fact that I can buy my son a new Yukon Denali.
I'm not jealous.
And
I could care less if you could buy your son a brand new 2001.
Yeah, sure.
I mean,
are you kidding me?
I mean, I go to Oregon State. I go to Oregon State.
Mm-hmm.
So what? What?
Mm-hmm.
When I get out of college, I'm going to be able to buy a brand new car? Wow.
Well, I don't
know.
What's
the cool thing about that?
What's cool about buying a brand new car?
You like to get laid?
All right.
Whatever.
I don't need to be hearing that, okay?
Well, I mean, the guys don't know what's cool about a new car.
We're buying our son's brand new cars, Lenny. And Janice Greeley bought her son a used car, and we destroyed it with a sledgehammer. Which is our right under our homeowners association rules. Now, when you buy a home, Lenny, you'll know about these things. But right now, as you're a renter, it's confusing for you, isn't it?
It's not confusing to me.
All right. Okay, Lenny. Are you living in your car now, or?
No, I'm living in a two-bedroom house.
You live in your car?
No, I'm living in a two-bedroom house with my girlfriend,
that's
all right?
That's a joke. Are you living in your car?
Yeah, that's funny, man. That's real
funny.
All right,
whatever. I'm off this. This is stupid, and it should be squashed.
The closest you'll ever get to a Denali is giving it a scrub at the car wash.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, great.
All right, whatever.
1-800-449-8686. Bobby Dooley and Steve Dooley on the Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. We'll be right back.
One 800 449 8686, and now more on the Phil Hendry Show.
We're back. Is there a problem, Steve?
I don't know. My wife's had some problems breathing.
This all started because your wife and
this all started because my wife and former very dear friends were talking about getting cars for their sons for his 16th birthday, and my wife, they're getting brand new cars, and all of a sudden one of them said they're going to get a used car.
And your wife had emotional or...
My wife has heart palpitation. That's been off. And, all I'm saying is, how come all these kids who were molested by priests get to say something, but my wife's taking abuse?
Because you're tying this woman buying a used car for her son into your wife being molested by her best friend.
Give me the phone, Steve.
Honey.
Give me the phone. I heard that, Phil. And I'm going to tell you something. I have known Janice Greeley for many years, and we've been very dear friends. Now, all of a sudden, during the planning of our springtacular, when we're talking about what cars we're getting our sons for their 16th birthdays, she says, we're going to bring a used Buick into Western Estates. We just thought we'd roll a garbage can through the front gates and let it sit and stink in front of our house. Now, I am having a recommendation that the children on the street get AIDS tested. Because it
wait a second. AIDS testing?
Right, well, just do it.
Why do you suppose...
Now you got to get AIDS testing because they bought a used Buick?
I'll tell you right now, so the best thing we could have done is to have the boys take the sledgehammer to it, but I'm afraid that they... We've exposed them to AIDS, or I don't know. They went for a ride in Kyle Greeley's used car. God knows what fluids were on the back seat.
Like a whoremobile. And that's all I'm saying.
I think that it's really extreme. I think you guys are really kind of goofy, okay? Here is Jenna on the Phil Henry Show. That's very extreme.
I'm in a hospital bed, Phil.
Jenna, go ahead.
This is Dooley or Dooley, however you say your name.
My name is Dooley. Thank you very
Dooley.
Much. Yes.
I am sorry to tell you, but you cannot get AIDS from a used vehicle.
I'm sorry.
Has to be transfused through blood. And I want to know why you
think... I don't
know
whether you know what you're talking about or not.
Actually, I do.
But my son...
I have gone through... You know, you don't know what I've been through. I have had so many blood transfusions in my life. I know how you can get AIDS.
Oh, my God. You have AIDS?
No, I don't have AIDS.
Well, then
but
I
know
understand.
How you can get AIDS.
Jenna, is your name Jenna?
Yes, my name is Jenna.
We live in a very upmarket neighborhood.
So do I.
$1 million minimum.
You know, your money does not matter to me.
And
I have more money than you could ever dream of, woman.
How dare they bring... Well, I doubt that. My husband has a wildly successful landscaping business.
My husband is a doctor, and I'm a lawyer, so...
And
I have millions.
Only hookers get blood transfusions. Jenna.
No, I was in a bad accident.
That
I was dead.
Yes, that's not... I apologize, Jenna.
Well, I don't understand about her blood transfusions. Do you have AIDS or don't you?
No, I do not have AIDS.
All right. The way you get AIDS
is
if they leave
or
semen on the back seat after having sex with a prostitute.
No.
And then my son lays in it.
No, that is not. You have to have an open wound to have AIDS injected into your body.
I don't understand.
Okay, and I want to know...
Look, if I could just jump in, we're not talking about AIDS, all right?
No.
We're talking about a used car.
And I want to know why she thinks that...
You have transfusions, right?
A used car.
And they use needles, right?
Such a
then
bad
you have
thing.
AIDS.
Needles cause AIDS.
Wait a minute.
Okay, so... No. Answer me this. Answer me this.
What?
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I bought my mother a car, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then
mm-hmm.
I got it. So that's a used
mm-hmm.
car, so I have AIDS from it now?
I would get AIDS tested.
You know, I have to get tested every year because of my blood transfusion.
Do you understand, Jenna? I am the mother of three boys that I love dearly. And
you know,
she might have killed my boys with that garbage can car that sits and stinks. We took a sledgehammer to it.
You need to go to jail for it.
Jail? Oh, my
you
God.
You are abusing somebody's neighbor, somebody's, you're trespassing on their property.
It's just an AIDS mobile, and we have a right.
All right, if
so
you
you're
thought
saying that because I bought a car for my mother, and then I got it after, which
mm-hmm.
I now own a brand new vehicle myself,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That I have AIDS because I bought the car for my mom, and then I got it, so it was you.
Have you ever had sex with a Puerto Rican?
No.
Because you can get it that way, too.
No,
all right.
I don't date Puerto Ricans.
I only have
my husband.
Well, you're the one who should go to jail. If you have a gun, if you have gonorrhea or anything...
I don't have anything. That's not what this is about.
Well, you said that you were giving gonorrhea. I don't understand.
No, she
didn't.
I didn't say I was. The woman said she had a car that was used that she bought that you bought from your mother. Is that it, Jenna?
No, I bought my car for my mother, and then I took over it. So that's a used car, so I have AIDS?
Did you buy a used car for your mother?
No, it was brand spanking new, and now I have a brand new car for myself.
I don't understand. If you have AIDS...
I don't have AIDS.
She never said she had AIDS.
Yeah.
She said she bought a used car. You guys brought the AIDS discussion in.
No, I said I bought a brand new car, but yeah.
Oh, you bought a brand new car.
And then I got it from my mom.
Then you gave AIDS to your mother.
And she didn't give AIDS to her mother.
You are totally off the line.
Are you out of your mind? She said she... And what is this thing you talked Janice out of having a baby?
I know what's best for my friend.
Okay, well, you need to know what's best for yourself. If your friend wanted to have a baby, she should have been able to have a baby.
If your mother's a whore, sell the car back to her for drug money.
You
what?
Know, abortion is against... You go to hell for having an abortion.
Excuse me, Jenna, but this woman was about to have a baby. Her husband was out of work. Oh, my God.
So?
How are they going to afford the child?
You know what? I have a
the
sister that has
thing
six
that
kids
ever
and
happened
she does not have a job. I know how it
the
is.
The sound of that Hoover vacuum cleaner.
And I know how it is. My sister does not work, and she has six kids. I know how it is.
I knew there was something about the way you spoke to me that...
And I have to help her out.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can tell you that this
And actually,
automobile...
she bought my car that I bought my mother. So now she has a used vehicle, too, and she has AIDS. But I bought it in the beginning, so it was
all
my family's car anyway.
All you have done is come on this program and call your mother and your sister a whore.
No, I haven't.
Yeah, no, she hasn't.
I have not said that.
How much for your sister?
Boy, you're a real riot there, Mr. Dooley. Jenna,
they
thank you for your call.
They both need some psychiatric help.
I am in the hospital right now because I was emotionally fondled by my best friend. And
emotionally
suicide...
fondled?
Yes, I was.
Well, maybe she's in love with you. Go sleep with her.
Well, you're the one who's passing AIDS off to your own mother.
I don't have AIDS.
All right, okay. Thank you very much for your call. There's no AIDS here. Do you understand?
I understand, but she's not being clear.
She wasn't making it clear.
There's no AIDS. There's no none of that. These are used cars we're talking about. What if there's semen in the back seat? Here is Ann on the Phil Henry Show. Ann, go ahead.
Bobby?
Mm-hmm.
Bobby?
Yes, Bobby Dooley, hi.
I just can't understand, Bobby, why you'd want to lose your your neighbor's friendship.
I love her so much.
That car. Doesn't
why
that
did
friendship
she...
mean anything to you?
Why did she molest me?
She didn't, Bobby. She really and truly didn't. She just bought a car.
Mm-hmm.
And don't bring your sons into it. They're probably nice kids. In the sense of the thing.
My sons are all right.
But that's, well, I'm
my
saying
eldest
that,
was arrested,
you know,
on a rape charge, but...
Yeah, but Bobby,
most
you're
of
bringing
the kids...
them into this. You're the one that's doing this,
well,
Bobby.
Well, I don't like the idea of this car sitting there.
Yeah, but Bobby,
we could raise
mean,
money
that,
for charity.
Doesn't that help?
Have you been hospitalized? And you know what I mean. Have you ever
help,
been,
but
have you ever been hospitalized?
Yeah, but Bobby,
I'm
you know,
in a hospital right now.
The friendship with that neighbor of yours should mean so much. Some friendships isn't something you can throw away.
Well,
by
then Janice kids. Drove the AIDS car and then fondled my wife so she could have AIDS.
Who? Oh, who's this?
My wife. I'm Steve Dooley. That's
did
my
you fondle
Steve.
Your wife? Who fondled your wife?
Oh, I don't know.
But you don't know who fondled you?
My best friend.
Your best friend fondled her? The one that with the used car?
Yes.
Well,
again, don't lay your Oprah heal yourself crap on me.
Oh.
Oprah's going off the air.
Well, listen, you know, honey, I think you're in a hospital, but I hope to God there's bars on the window. And I hope your husband's scratching himself in a cage somewhere. Because you were two sad people.
You know,
I feel bad for your children.
Oh, and so in other words, we're supposed to allow a used car in here when we're getting all of our sons'
business. Well, you know, that other girl before me, you should be in jail. The police should have been called in there for what you did to that girl's car.
What did I do to her car? It wasn't a girl. It was a boy.
You were the one, the leadership.
Are you jealous because you've never been molested?
Listen, don't go on molested. It's got a used car, honey. You're going off to the thing of it.
Every
and I
day in Israel,
I just feel sorry
people
for you.
Are
and your
being
husband,
killed by suicide bombers.
Yeah. Your husband's
and
such a good gardener. Yeah. Your
what?
Husband's such a good landscaper or something. God, he knows what he's landscaping behind your back, honey. He accused that other girl of laying somebody. I can imagine what he's laying in the backseat of cars. So as they say, you just want him a call. You know, I started this conversation with you as a human being.
Can you say where's the beef from?
You're not a human being. I started this
all right,
because I felt sorry for your son.
Absolutely. But now what we're talking... What do you mean there's one piece of sod you're not going to lay and it ain't Ann?
That's what I said.
Who?
All right. Look at Ann. Thanks for your call.
Yeah,
it's Phil Henry Show here. And you guys... Where were you right now in the hospital?
No, we've got the doctor coming over stat because there has been breathing problems ever since Janice found out about a used car.
All right. Now, Bobby, are you all right?
Phil, I'm all right. I'm just... It's just...
Breathe, honey.
I'm trying.
Anna's bought her son a new car.
Okay, I think I'm...
Yeah, great. 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Don't forget to order your Best of the Phil Henry Show 2002 CD, World Famous. You can order it by phone, 877-616-7445, or online at philhenryshow.com. And all of the proceeds go to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood, California.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
Both of you guys should understand what our country can do. Look at this. Look at this. Right. Yeah, yeah. yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's a pussy right there. It's got to watch that kind of crap on tape.
Why is
it his rocks off?
Hold on.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm right here.
What? Did you hear what the man said?
I want to ask you, why does that make me a pussy? Because I like watching America's Might at work.
Because all you're doing, you're sick in the head. And you're a pussy for sitting there watching that. And you're too scared to get out and go over there and do anything about it. So you talk like a big man behind four walls. And a...
Please, look at this. Look at that, huh? Huh?
You know what?
We can't see
I guarantee you, my wife... Our ex-wife, five foot, weighs 107 pounds, could break her foot off in your ass with no problem.
You called me a pussy?
Yeah, you're a pussy.
How do you figure that? I was special ops.
What special ops? Were you in the Army?
I was in a special ops. No, I was in a private security firm.
He's special ops. The special ops part of him run down. I ain't going to be nasty on the show. I can't handle that.
I understand that. I understand, Lee, and I appreciate your sentiments.
You graduated from dumbass highs. Where you graduated from?
I graduated from dumbass high, is it?
Yeah, you're stupid, man.
Now you're calling people names.
Well, you're calling President Bush a pussy.
Because he is a pussy. Look at this.
It takes a pussy to call somebody a name over the radio.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Hey, instead of to their face. I guarantee you, he'll be more than happy to hire. You go up to Washington and tell one of them Secret Service agents outside that fence, and he'll drop you like a bag of bricks.
Hey, Lee, here's one I call Senorita. This is a great one.
I'm not going to waste no more of my breath.
He's
on
a
loser.
It's a freaking metal case.
Man, you keep up the good work. I've been listening for a long time. First time I ever got through. Sorry you got to deal with a dumbass like that.
You're a good man. Thanks for... What are you doing, man?
I can't hear you with that guy.
I know. He's watching...
I'm not allowed to look at my own private stash of adult films.
Do it when you're not on the phone or on the radio.
I don't care what...
I'm on the cell phone going down the road. I'm fixing to let you go, buddy.
I'll see you later, brother. What are you doing?
I'm sorry?
What are you doing?
Nothing.
Nothing?
No. What are you yelling at me?
I'm yelling at you because I'm trying to have a conversation. I'm listening to you. You're watching your private stash of nuclear blasts.
Can I just look at one more?
What?
Can I look at one more?
Go ahead, you freak.
Here's one I call your mama.
What in the hell? Get this guy out of here.
Yeah.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
I am so angry, I'm next to tears, okay?
What are you crying about, Paul?
This priest is the devil himself in the flesh. And he has some nerve to talk about these guys are going to drink Satan urine. He's the one that's going to drink Satan urine in eternity in hell. And all the priests that he's backing up. This is the most...
Now, wait a minute, Paula. These two people were having sex in the back of St. Patrick's Cathedral in New York City.
Well, a cathedral is a building, okay? It is not the church.
And they're two,
all right?
they're two consenting adults.
The body of Christ. And what they did to those children.
I thought people would support me. They suspended Opie and Anthony, those two urine-drinking Satanists who...
Will you knock it off with that?
You are the urine-drinking Satanist, and you're the one that's going to burn in hellfire and drink Satan's urine for eternity.
But I can
was even a Catholic, I would denounce it, and I hope people listening just walk away. My shadow wouldn't even darken the doorway of a Catholic church.
Well, darling,
I am your Paul and sticking at
you
all.
You know,
using God's name in this way and abusing children, innocent children, totally messing up their lives. I'm talking about that. You believe
Paula,
in God, you're doing this under God's name.
But can
go
I tell
to
you
hell.
Can I tell you something, Paula?
I don't want to hear anything.
Can
just go to hell. All I have to say, you're the devil in
flesh.
Wait
a minute. Paula, this is Phil Henry. What's that music in the background?
There's no music.
No, I'm listening to music on the line with Father McQuarters.
That's Father Staley. We're rolling out the celebration. We've got the molesting priests off the front page, and...
And you guys are playing the organ and partying?
The word just came down from the Vatican. Go for it.
So what's he up there playing the organ?
Father Staley, he had some of the port, and he's up there. It happens. Paula, can I ask you a question, darling? Do you roll the bones?
Pardon me?
Do you roll the bones?
If I what?
You know, voodoo.
No.
What do you mean,
voodoo? I've never believed in it. I don't get involved in it. Never have and never will.
Have you ever passed the spliff?
Pardon me?
Have you ever passed the duchy?
All right.
No, I haven't.
Okay.
I'm an upstanding citizen.
Are you a Catholic, dear?
No, I'm not. I never would be.
Well, now, why wouldn't you be Catholic when we party hardy?
Yeah, you guys are partying? What are you partying over, man? Because you're off the front page with the whole molesting thing, and onto the front page goes these two people screwing in St. Patrick's?
I have to tell you something, Phil, that I am shocked and I'm amazed, that I thought I'd come on your program and have people supporting me. But instead, they're out supporting those two urine drinkers.
Okay.
I'm going to hang up, though. I can't, you know, listen to this absolute nonsense. And, you know, it's just totally horrendous. And like I said, you're talking about these guys going to drink Satan urine. When you're digging a ditch for somebody else, dig it for yourself, because you're the one that's going to fall in there.
But
and the whole Catholic Church with you.
But they were screwed. They were screwed in the back of St. Patrick's. Doesn't anybody understand?
Well,
nobody cares.
So what?
Nobody cares. Got that? Nobody cares. Nobody cares. What we care about are the kids that the Catholic Church abused and was culpable in abusing by covering up these priests, moving them around the country, and everything else. Who cares if somebody's screwed in the back of St. Patrick's Cathedral?
Phil, I hope I see the day when you're nailed to a cross in hell and that you cook and fry slowly. Hello?
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy Gold.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Whitney Houston's dealer. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Get ready, Bogville. It's time for the Johnny Hengel Show on KHMG, Bogville, K-Hung.
Hi, everybody. Johnny Hengel here with tonight's Christmas tunes on K-Hung.
Sleigh bells ring.
I got Peggy Lee there with Winter Wonderland here, Johnny Hengel program here on K-Hung. It's about 50 below outside in Bogville. We're looking to temperatures in the wind chill factor range about 70 below. I want to remind you that with the K-Hung Toys for Tots and Children's Drive is coming up, be sure to bring down all of those wonderful toys for all the kids. Oh, here's another Christmas tin. Hey, I want to send this out to my wife, who I caught in bed with another woman and another guy tonight, and the scary thing was the woman had a penis too. Johnny Hengel here on K-Hung. Christmas tunes. Out of sight, huh? Isn't that great? Nice Christmas mood music for you here. We're broadcasting live from the Zoo Insurance Tower here in downtown Bogville. Hey, if you want to come by, you swing on right by here. Hit the old zapper on the door there. Johnny Hengel let you in here on K-Hung. K-Hung weather time now is about 47 after the hour. Say, listen, friends, K-Hung is encouraging you to make sure you donate to your local charities. We want you to help out all the kids this year, all the old people, everybody who's dying and croaking and stuff. It's Christmas time. Let's be nice to people. So anyway, my wife is in bed with a woman. She's got a penis, and I pulled out a Beretta 9mm, the same gun we used in two other bits tonight. Blew her head off. This is for my wife, who I murdered this evening. Oh, yeah, Santa Claus is coming to town, and he's packing. Yeah. Beautiful, beautiful tune there by the King Earl Grant here on K-Hung, KHNG 1120. K-Hung time is about 48 minutes after the hour. Hey, we're going to draw for that family four-pack to the Christmas carnival. Of course, I won't be going because my wife ruined our family by having sex with whatever it was. I'm not sure yet, but I certainly would like to see all of you out there again.
K-Hung flashback.
Let's go back to 1948. Remember this one? I don't. I wasn't born yet. Here's a beautiful old memory from Perry Como. I'm going to send this out to the guy that was having sex with my wife tonight, too.
I'd like you for Christmas.
Because you're going to sing just like this after I get done with you.
Please make my wish come true.
There she is, Floozy Brown, with a great song called I Want to Have You for Christmas. Every inch. I 649 here, I K-Hog, KHNG 1120 on your dial, Zoo Insurance Tower time. 649. Hey, listen, friends, it's Christmas time, and it's just a time of joy and giving. When you see that Salvation Army bucket, drop a couple of pennies in there, okay? Look them in the eye and say, thanks a lot, Santa. Thanks for the great good that you do.
Johnny Hengel, K-Hung.
My wife, by the way, as I mentioned, not only was in bed with a transsexual and another guy tonight, but also with my next-door neighbor, Bob Fremington. Bob, want to send out a happy hi to you and your wife? Thanks for ruining my life, and I had to come to work anyway, because no one cares if you have a personal problem like that. If I was sick, they'd let me have the night off, but because my wife slept with 15 different people in the same hour span, I still have to come into work. You can call me here at 877-K-HUNG, that's 877-K-H-U-N-G, with your requests. I'd like to have a request of my wife not have that eunuch pumping on top of her, but what can I do, you know? All right, 650, what a great memory there, huh? That's Wes Montgomery with Winter Wonderland, and Santa Claus is a groovy cat. It's 50 after here on the Johnny Hengel Show on K-HUNG at 1120 K-HUNG time.
Hello. I'm Arthur Friedman, general manager of K-Hug. The lettuce co-op is pissing me off. All of you people are not sharing with the poor this year, so we'd really love for you to swing with that. I'm Arthur Friedman, reminding you to please donate to Santa this year.
This has been an editorial opinion from K-Hung. Our general manager is a blazing alcoholic.
All right, K-Hung, getting back here to the Christmas tunes. Johnny Hengel here. Want to tell you and remind you that my wife, Ann Hengel, slept with three men today. Three other men. Hey!
All your troubles away.
Yeah.
Everybody's waiting for the man with the bag, because Christmas is coming again.
Haha, the man with the bag. I get it.
He's got a sleigh full. It's not going to stay full. He's got stuff to drop at every stop of the way.
Well, that's a groovy tune, isn't that, huh? That's Sally Rand there. With no clothes on, three men and a Great Dane. Great song, isn't it?
He'll be here with the answer to the prayers.
Yeah, I love that song, Three Men and a Great Dane. A big K-Hung hit.
If you've done everything you should, extra special good, he'll make this December the one you'll remember, the best and the merriest you ever did have. Everybody's
all right, there you go. A great K-Hung memory there from Sally Rand and her Bubble Boys. And that's one's call is Christmas, It's Too Much. Okay, it's about 6:52 here, K-Hung time, 11:20 on your dial. Thank God I had the hooker in Thailand, and she gave me herpes, and I gave it to my wife, and now I feel a whole heck of a lot better about finding my wife in the sack with those two other guys. Hey, let's get over to our phones right now. How you doing this evening?
Hello, Johnny, we love your program out here, and I'm sitting alone in a room. My family doesn't see me, and you're all I have.
All right, what can we do for you?
Well, I'm sorry to hear about your old lady hunching all those people. It sounded like a Marine troop. But anyway, can I hear...
Well, here it is, honey. A great memory from 1931.
Johnny, I'm naked. Take me.
All right, cut it off, please. You recognize this song? If you do, give us a call on our big K-Hung line. If you recognize this song, you could win yourself a gift pack of three passes to the Moonlight Serenade Roller Rink in downtown Bogville. By the way, this is Johnny Hengel. I'd rather be anywhere but here right now. My life is destroyed. My wife has given me all forms of STD, and she's run off with a clown from a circus. This is really bad. Let me tell you, my life couldn't be worse, but I'm making it happen here on K-Hung. All right, what song do you think that was?
Jesus. I know.
Please, sir, 3 seconds.
Could you turn it up? Oh, Jesus.
All right, sorry, sir. Hi, you're on K-Hung with Johnny Hengel. What song are we playing right now for that gift pack to the Bogville Roller Rink?
Yeah, that's the Winter Wonderland.
Nope, sorry, kid.
You're a piece of crap. I hope your old lady gave you very...
Okay, let's go to the call. Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, Johnny?
Yes, sir.
Are you still looking for the answer to the song, Who Slept With Your Wife?
That's... hi, who are you?
Who am I? Who are you?
Hi, you're on the air.
Not yours.
You're on the air.
Baba Booey.
Okay, forget it. Is Tuesday, friends. Listen, the K-Hong, Johnny Hangel, K-Hong Christmas Stocking Fund can sure use your help. Oh, look at like that. Look at that. Look at that. My wife's changed her name to Three-Hold Annie. Isn't that great? Johnny Hangel here going through all kinds of personal problems tonight, including the fact that I have a Romalar addiction. My wife's sleeping with men and...
The snow is snowing and the wind...
Nothing to make me feel better than Dean Martin, Dino.
But I can weather...
I know the name of that song, Johnny.
Well, the contest's over.
You're a fag.
I must hit me stone. I've got a mind.
How about that, huh? Dino Martin, Dean Martin here. Johnny Hangel program here on K-Hong, KHNG, 1120 dial. Zoo insurance time. 55 minutes after the hour. And we're going to be getting into the newsroom now here with Biff Wordley. Biff?
Thank you, Johnny Hangel, and good evening, everyone. I'm Biff Wordley, K-Hong News. And Margaret, I just got a thing for her. In other news, we have a front page story here. Al Gore won't be running against Bush in 04. Surprise exit leaves slate clean. If you'll pardon me, I just have to get another Budweiser out of here. Okay. This is Al Wordley, K-Hong.
It's 6:56. Johnny Hangel here with more great music, even though I'm emotionally traumatized. That's right. The things that have been happening to me over the last 12 hours, I feel as if I've been sodomized in a county jail cell. But I'll keep on keeping the hits going on here on K-Hong, KHNG. A happy Christmas to all of you folks. I'm not home, of course. I don't have a life. I'm a disc jockey. By the way, if we ever do have an emergency where we have to tune to that emergency broadcasting channel, it won't be me on the air. You think I'm some kind of a chump? I'm going to be on the air while all you guys are in a bomb shelter? I don't think so. Well, that's it for me, Johnny Hangel here in the Johnny Hangel program. I'm going to turn it over here now to Bob Scone. Bob's going to take you through the night here on K-Hong. I got to go home now and blow my wife's brains out. And if you don't hear from me next week, it means I'm in jail. I'm in jail. I'm in prison. I'm in prison for a long time. Because I'm going to go home and kill her. I'm going to throttle her and kill her. Right, here's Bob Stover.
Thanks very much, Johnny Hangel. Well, you give her one for me. Good evening, everybody. I'm Bob Effords, and I'm a heroin addict, and that's why I sound the way I do. I got the overnight shift here on K-Hong, KHNG, yeah. Hey, baby, why don't you give me a call tonight? I'll play those requests for you, huh? I basically don't have any talent. I've just got a voice, you know, just this voice, and I can talk really low and stuff.
There's something
I go home and talk to myself. It gets me off. Let's take a phone call, huh?
Hi, this is Johnny Hangel. Just wanted to let you know I blew my wife's brains out. Everything's good.
All right, Johnny, you rock on, baby.
All right, man, digging it.
Okay.
The Bill Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Pure exhibitionism. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Okay, we have featured over the last couple of weeks Santa Clauses, men and women who give of their time to be involved with kids at this time of the year, this holiday time of the year, talk with the kids about what they want and about the holiday season. One of the people that we initially wanted to have on the show, Don Parsley, who is a Santa Claus at a mall in Metairie, Louisiana, lost his job there over the weekend. Which we did not anticipate would happen, Don. We thank you for being on our program. We understand that there was a good track record there, at least as long as you had it. What happened?
Thank you for having me on your program, Mr. Henry.
What happened? How did you lose your job?
Well, in my case, I just got tired of the, you know, you get tired of the hypocrisy. You get tired of being lied to. You get tired and you get weary from one lie after the next.
Were your superiors lying to you? Who was lying to you?
No, my superiors were not lying to me. I'm talking about my job as a Santa Claus. And
who was lying to you?
Well, when the children sit in your lap, you ask them a question when you're a Santa Claus. Anybody who has ever been a Santa Claus at a mall knows that... Everyone who hires you, no matter what the department store, will tell you, ask the child, have they been a good little boy or have they been a good little girl? And that's what I did, and I did that for 2.5 years until finally I couldn't stomach. I just couldn't stomach the lies anymore. You know, you get weary, you get tired of the lies.
What lies? The kids are lying to you?
Well, when you ask a child, have you been a good little boy or a good little girl, and they all say yes, one after the other, the odds are at least half of them are lying. They haven't been good. I feel the pressure, and I felt the pressure, and I just asked myself, what does my life mean? What have I been doing? And so earlier this past month, when I started talking with the kids, if I thought a child was lying, I would whisper in their ear because of my anger, and I'm not proud of this, but you have to understand I was becoming desensitized.
What were you whispering?
I was whispering in their ear, you're a lying little sack of S, and that...
You were saying that to children.
I'm not proud of it. I'm not proud of it.
You were saying to children that were in your lap, you're a lying little sack of the word S?
Yes. If I let them know that I knew they were lying, I knew, at least they knew that I knew. You see what I'm saying? I didn't want one child after the next sitting in my lap and saying, I've been a good little boy. I've been a good little girl. And I'm saying to myself, they are lying. Oh, they are lying. And why can't I say anything about it? Why can't I do anything about it?
All right, so now, so you're telling children that they're liars.
Because half of them are liars.
All right. So now the other day comes along, and one of them, apparently you got fired after an incident the other day. I can't believe you're telling children that they're lying little sacks of you-know-what.
I'm not telling every child that.
All right, but you're telling the kids that you think are lying. Somehow you're figuring which ones are lying.
Yes.
All right, and what happened the other day?
The other day, one of them started to cry, and it told its mom, after I had whispered in its ear, that you are a lying little piece of S, and because I knew that it was lying.
How did you know that the kid was lying?
You know when it's lying because it won't meet your gaze. You get a kid sitting in your lap and it's going to look up at the sky and it'll look down at the floor and it'll never lock in on your gaze. And I know right there that I have got a liar. Have you been a good little boy or a good little girl? And the eyes are up in the air, they're down looking at the floor. One thing that I do that a lot of Santas don't do, most Santas will have the child sit on their knee. Sort of a side saddle. I have the child spread eagle and lock, they straddle me, so that their eyes are looking right into mine. And
no, wait a minute. You have the kids sitting how?
With the kids' legs wrapped around my waist. And the reason why I do that is that...
Well, I would find that if I was an adult to be a highly unusual...
No, but you have to understand the reason why I do that. Because I want to see their eyes when I ask them the question, have you been a good little boy or a good little girl? And they'll lie because they won't look at you in the eye. They'll look up, I've been a good little boy. And I'll say, now, have you been a good little boy? They'll look around, and I know they're a dirty, low-lying. I see some snot-nosed brat waiting in line with his mother kicking and screaming because he wants an ice cream. And he sits on my lap, and he swears up and down he's been good all year. I know he is lying to me. Because the body goes rigid. And
what happened the other day?
The other day, one of them, I told the kid he was a lying piece of you-know-what, and he started to cry, and he told his mom after I had told him that. And it ran over to its mom. I knew the jig was up.
So what, didn't you think that any other kid would tell his mother? I'm surprised it's the first time that a kid would tell his mother.
You know, I suppose I should have, but you have to understand something, that there is... My belief is there's a legal precedent, not unlike what a client and an attorney share. There's a...
You're talking about a client privilege?
There is a well-known legal case, Miller versus the Rockland Mall at State of Connecticut. What a child tells to a Santa Claus in the spirit of Christmas is protected by the court and can be construed as privileged conversation. And I figured that I was safe.
You're telling me that what a child says to you sitting on your knee He cannot...
He does not have to be compelled to tell anybody. That is privileged conversation, and I thought that I was safe, and obviously I wasn't. But let me say this to you. I'm not proud of telling these children...
You're talking to... How old are these kids? You're telling these kids that they're lying, little pieces of crap.
All right, I did something wrong, but that doesn't compare. I did one thing wrong. These children did three things wrong. And they,
what are the three things that, and what if we can say a child does anything wrong compared to you saying to a kid he's a lying piece of S because he wasn't a good little boy or good little girl and he's lying to you?
I'm not proud of it, but these children ratted me out to their parents. Then I got fired, and then they told their parents what I had said to them. So they violated the privileged conversation between myself and the child. They ran and told their mom, and now I don't have a job. And what did I do? All I did was I told the truth. I told the...
You don't use that kind of language to a kid, though.
But I told the truth, Mr. Henry. I said, you lying, you dirty... I said, are you a good little boy or are you a good little girl? And I got the kid's legs wrapped around my waist, so I'm looking them straight in the face. Are you a good little boy or are you a good little girl? Yeah, sure, Santa. And they're looking up in the eye, you dirty lying piece of crap.
But you said something much stronger.
I admit that I did.
Yeah, you admit you did. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. This is Don. He's a Santa at a mall or got fired after telling the kids they're lying pieces of crap when they said that they were good little boys and good little girls. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
All right, we have Don Carsey. He is a man who was fired from his job as a Santa Claus at a mall in Metairie, Louisiana. And the reason he was fired, because he was telling children they were lying pieces of S, lying pieces of crap. And you say the reason why you told them that, Don, is why?
I told them that because they do lie. When you ask a child, have you been a good little boy or a good little girl, they all say, yes, they have. They are liars. And they have not been raised properly. Now, I was released from my job because these parents say that I don't have the right to say that their children are lying sacks of shit. But I will tell you this.
You know, you're holding. It sounds like you got some anger here.
I do have anger. I lost my job. But I will tell you this. I plan on using videotape to my advantage. You can capture these children on video. Pushing each other on the playground, stealing candy from each other, and doing things that Santa Claus, were he to exist, would not approve of. I can get this on video. I can show the parents that their children are lying two-bit. Just, in other words, what I'm saying is that these children lied when they said they'd been good little boys and girls. And
how do you say a kid's eyes cast around, you know he's lying?
Children's eyes cast around. Their children. I mean, you have to be stupid not to believe that children of certain ethnicity might be more prone to lying about it.
Such as who?
Your Mexican children, or these who say they've been good little boys and girls. Come on, you're trying to tell me that every Mexican that was to sit in Santa Claus's lap and said he was a good little boy or girl. They're telling the truth.
Well, I look at, you know, if you're, there's been a lot of talk about racial profiling, but to say that a little Mexican child, when he sits in your lap and says he was a good little boy or a good little girl, when he or she was, you know, spending the previous year since last Christmas, and he's lying because he's a Mexican.
I'm just saying that there are some, come on.
You come on. Why can't a black kid or a Mexican kid be a good little boy or girl just like a white kid?
Well, first of all, because of the home he lives in, he's got parents. Never mind, I won't...
No, why can't a Mexican kid or a black kid say, I've been a good little boy or girl? Why is he more prone to be lying about it?
I don't even want to go there.
No, you don't want to go there, but you told these kids they were lying sacks of crap, and you used a stronger word and got yourself fired because one kid finally told on you.
He ratted me out, and he was a lying... Jesus.
You sound angry, man.
Yeah, I'm angry. I lost a job.
1-800-449-8686. Amy, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hello, how are
yes,
you?
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
Well, I just want to say to the demented racist Santa, you should have lost your job, sir. There is nothing that a child could do, a little child.
Why do they lie?
There is nothing that a child could do, just let me finish, that would constitute you calling them a piece of crap. And
they're lying, little Pete. When I say to them, are you a good little boy or a good little girl? And he says, yeah, I was good. What a low life liar.
You know what?
Nobody is perfect.
It's Santa Claus.
Well, they know.
It's Christmas. It's supposed to be something good for the kids. And as far as sitting them in your lap with their legs wrapped around you, that is just sick and demented.
Wait a second.
I have nothing to say to you, but
what are you suggesting?
You deserve to lose your job.
That I look in their eyes. I know they're lying when they're not looking in my eyes. And the only way you can do that is to have them wrap their leg. What are you saying? It's something sexual?
Well, it sounds pretty demented to me. And as far as that's concerned, did you ever sit on Santa's lap as a child?
Did I ever do what, ma'am?
Did you ever sit on Santa's lap when you were a child?
I would never disgrace Santa Claus by sitting on his lap and going, yeah, I've been a good little boy. I knew that I was a piece of scum. I knew that I was scum.
You can remember when you were 3 or 4 years old and you said, yes, I've been a good little boy.
No, I knew that I was scum from the gate, and I would never... I put a pencil. I'll tell you what I did. I put a pencil in a cat's rear end, and I was ashamed of that, and I've never told Santa.
When you were a kid?
Yes, sir.
You stuck a pencil up a cat's rear end?
Yeah. So I would never tell
you. I think you had some deep-rooted problems, sir.
That's when I was a child. I'm well past that.
You deserve to lose your job. You should not be anywhere around.
All right. Okay. All right. I would agree with you. I deserve to lose my job. What about that lying little piece of crap that gets to go tell his mother? What happens to him? He gets to have his toys for Christmas? No, ma'am.
He's a child. What is the worst thing a kid could do?
Well, then how come he gets to sit there with his legs wrapped around my stomach and say, yeah, I've been a good little kid?
Look, at this legs wrapped around your stomach thing, if you ever get another job as a Santa, can I give you some advice? That's got to go right off the bat. And then the second thing that's got to go is...
I've been a Santa Claus for 5 of the last 10 years, Mr. Hendry. I don't need your advice.
Yes, you do. You desperately need my advice. Don't have the kid wrapping his legs around your stomach, and do not call him a lying piece of S, as you said that you did. Here is Dee Dee on the Phil Hendry Show. Dee Dee?
Hi, yes, this guy needs to be locked up.
How else are you supposed to make eye?
Santa.
How else are you supposed to make eye contact with a kid?
Well, you don't have him wrap his legs around your waist.
Then how else do you do it? You don't know, do you?
Go ahead, Dee Dee.
Okay, sir, you have some problems because...
Oh, come on.
You're sitting there talking about the kid's lying, but yet the kid went to his mother and told him the truth. And you're freaking out about that because he told the truth to his mother and he got fired.
He told the truth to his mother to get me fired, but he won't tell the truth to me in order so that Santa Claus knows what a piece of crap he is. And
Are you aware that you're talking about...
The kid's not a piece of crap. You're the one who was brought up believing you're a piece of crap, and you've got some deep-seated problems.
How do you figure that? How do you figure I've got deep... Look, are those children that I hear behind you?
Yes,
okay.
Son.
Are you teaching your children to sit in Santa's lap and lie like lying low dogs? Or are you teaching them?
You are sick, buddy. You need to be locked up in a mental hospital somewhere.
Wait a second. Did I miss something somewhere? The kid sits in my lap. He spreads his legs around my waist and says...
That's perverted. Spreads his legs around your waist.
How else?
If I saw a Santa pick my son up and do that...
Wait a second. You give your kid over to Santa Claus, I have a right to interrogate that child as I see fit.
And no, you don't.
You
have no right to anything.
Once you have turned him over to Santa Claus, I have the right to interrogate him.
No, you don't, and you don't have the
Santa's
right.
Santa's not supposed to be interrogating. You've got some deep-seated
problems,
I'm supposed to go ahead. Do you have children?
Do you realize I'm protecting you from having to pay too much for toys when I tell the kid, no, you won't get that toy because you're a lying dog, and your mother and father...
That's real nice. You're really in the spirit of Christmas,
you know,
there, Santa.
I am. If they are say they're good kids and they're I'm Santa Claus. I can ask any question I want, and I think that
no, you can't. And you're not Santa Claus. You're a guy that a mall hired. Do you understand? A guy
you're
that
a moron
mall...
is what you are.
All right, so kids can lie. Can we agree on that, Mr. Henry?
All
you and this lady.
All kids lie. Everybody.
And they're allowed to.
If you've been out of shape about kids lying, how have you made it through your life this far?
Can I ask a favor of you, ma'am, before we go any further? Would you tell whatever that is behind you to please keep it down?
No, and it's not a whatever it is behind me. It's my son, you idiot.
Would you tell it to please be quiet?
What do you mean, tell it?
Oh, man, I can't stand
you can't
that.
Even you can't even call a child, a him or a her.
All right, you are, and what do you do when you wake up on Christmas morning, you got coal in your stocking because you gave a lip to Santa?
What do you think, you're real Santa now?
I'm just asking.
You're too much.
I would ask you
need to be locked up.
I would ask you again, ma'am. Please tell it to shut up behind.
It's not an it. It's the woman's
tongue. Screw you, you asshole.
You tell that. Okay, now that you will never get any toys. God damn it.
Listen to you, man. What are you upset about? What are you angry about? What are you angst-ridden about, okay? Just because you put a pencil up a cat's rear end when you were a kid.
All right, I did that, and I admit to it. What bothers me is that woman won't admit to the fact that her brat won't shut its trap.
Do you hate kids?
I love children.
You love children?
Why else would I be Santa Claus?
But you call it, and you say that they're lion sacks?
That's all. I can't. Mr. Henry, in the Bible it says, Jesus says to the Pharisees, vomit you out of my mouth because you're hypocrites. That's how I feel about hypocrites. I can't stand a hypocrite. And that woman is going to have a real problem with that thing she's got in the back seat.
The thing in the back seat?
That whatever that was?
Her kid?
Right.
1-800-449-8686. We're talking here with Don Carsey, recently fired from his job as a Santa at the Presley Mall in Metairie, Louisiana. He had a good record there until he decided to ask children if they'd been good little boys and good little girls, and if they lie and say that they were a good little boy or a good little girl when he felt that they weren't, he told them, whispered in their ear, you're a lying little sack of S. Well, one of the kids told his mother, and that was the end of Mr. Carsey's job. Since then, he says he's going to use video equipment to prove to the parents involved that their children really are bad, because he can videotape them on the playground pushing each other or stealing each other's candy. 1-800-449. Yes, sir, you were going to say one more thing?
I just want to say that Jesus said, this is all I can stand, and I can't stand no more.
That's what Jesus said.
Right.
1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show. We're back with Don Carsey, the fired mall Santa. Go ahead, Don.
I was going to say that the year that I did not get any presents for Christmas was the same year that I had attempted to put a pencil up a cat's ass, okay? And excuse my language.
All right.
I went to the Santa Claus in the mall that year, and he asked me, were you a good little boy? And I said yes, knowing full well that I had tried to put a pencil up a cat's behind. So I had lied to him, and I didn't get presents that Christmas. I told myself that I would never lie to a Santa Claus again, and if I ever was in any position to keep other children from lying, I would do the same thing.
And you didn't get presents that year. Why? Was your family going through some kind of tough times?
My father had left. My mother was not working, yeah. So we had very
Well, that's why you didn't get presents, because your parents couldn't provide. Not because you tried to put a pencil up a cat's rear end.
No, I don't think it was because I put the pencil up a cat's rear end. I think it's because I had lied to Santa Claus. I'd said I'd been a good little boy.
Well, what if you'd said, no, I've been a bad boy, I tried to cram a pencil up a cat's ass? Then what?
He might have contacted my parents and somehow gotten me toys. I don't know.
He's a guy that a mall hired. He's a guy that a department store hired. He's going to contact your kid. I got to hand it to him. What a great kid. He told me the truth about trying to shove a pencil up a cat's butt. You should give him the toys he wants.
That is my feeling. The parents with their stupid faces standing there waiting for the kids to finish lying to me are just as much to blame. They've raised these things that way, and they're standing there lying.
You blame the parents? Okay, now maybe you're on the right track, but blaming the kids. Dolores, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, hello.
I want to address this man. I shouldn't even call him a man. He's a mongrel. He ought to be arrested.
What?
I ever walked into a mall and saw children wrapping their legs around Santa, I would have the police arrest somebody like this.
Well, after you stood there and stared for about a half hour.
You don't even belong in society.
I happen to be a Santa Claus in a mall, and no kid's going to sit in my lap and tell me he was a good little boy when he was a lying sack.
And the way you're talking about, you said that you like children.
I love children.
And you're calling them such profane names.
No, I love children.
You have no business being on the face of this earth.
Wait, whoa, hold on for a minute. The only way you can get a child to tell you truth is to wrap his legs around your waist, take his face in your hand.
No, that is not true. I've been to many malls and seen Santa Clauses with children sitting on their lap the proper way, and the children are smiling
and lying through
their teeth. Very friendly.
Right.
I don't know
lying through their teeth.
Children wrap their legs around you ought to be castrated.
No, but wait a second. How do you know those kids that are sitting in the Santa's lap aren't lying through their teeth? Lying, God, they lie. They lie, lie, lie. It's just the hypocrisy I couldn't take anymore. Sitting there, are you good little boy? Are you good little girl?
Yes, Santa.
And I don't know how any kind of mall could hire somebody like you.
Oh, and so do you take your grandkids to the mall?
I would never step foot in that mall.
Do you take your grandkids to the mall to see the Santa Claus or take your kids
there? Yes, I have four grandchildren,
and I do,
and they enjoy it. And the Santa Claus is a very nice, proper person. And they have a good time, and
I'll
they tell
when,
Santa
I'll,
what they want.
Sure,
they
and I'll bet.
They don't wrap their legs around his body.
I'll bet that when they're sitting there lying through their teeth, you got a big crap-eating grin on your face like, ain't I proud? And
why are you insulting this woman? Okay.
Yeah, you have the dirtiest mouth. I could not even imagine having someone like you as a Santa Claus.
Ma'am,
these mouths need to
have
hire
you ever
other
sat
people
on,
that are hiring the Santa Clauses. They
have
are
you
the
ever
ones
sat
that
on,
should be fired, too.
Have you ever sat on Santa's lap, ma'am?
When I was a young child, I probably did. I don't remember.
But you didn't. Okay, you don't remember. Then you don't remember whether you had your legs wrapped around him, did you?
Now, come on.
I certainly do remember that. I would never do something like that.
You said you don't remember.
You can't.
You're a sick individual.
Did you want to sit on Santa's lap?
I think all children want to sit on Santa's lap.
All right, now let me ask you.
Because they believe in Santa Claus.
Let me ask you a question. Do you now want to sit on Santa's lap?
No, I have no desire to sit on Santa's lap because I'm an older woman.
Not even just for fun.
No, sir, you're absolutely
What are you asking this woman?
I'm trying to find out where she's coming from. So you wouldn't want to wrap your legs around Santa?
Never mind, don't answer that question, Dolores.
I will not even acknowledge that you're you need to be in prison.
In prison for what? Look, I'm going to get videotape, and I'm going to show these brats.
You're a disgrace to society, and you're dangerous to children.
Danger to children? I've never done anything to a kid and to find out.
I would be very worried about you.
Do you teach your kids to lie?
If I saw you walking down the street, I would never let my children or grandchildren near you.
But you wouldn't know it was me, because I wouldn't be in the Santa Claus suit.
I would.
Yeah, can't answer that one.
Just by the way you talk and the way
you
act.
You think Rudolph's nose lights up?
Sir,
you're trying to discuss
the issue.
Why don't you stick to the point, okay?
I'm asking this lady if she thinks Rudolph's nose lights up. Because if you think Rudolph's nose lights up, you want to see Santa's...
Okay, man, you know, you're taking it down these areas that we don't need to go to.
I don't understand what he's talking
about. I don't get
about.
What he's...
I'm talking about the fact that the knob of my...
Okay, look. You and your lousy Santa job, you're fired. You'll never get hired again. His name is Don Carsey. Don't hire him for any Santa Claus job that you have.
You could say that again.
What did he say? Hey, Dolores, look.
Hello?
Dolores, this is Don. Look, I'll guide your sleigh tonight if you want.
What, with a red nose?
Well, with a red...
Okay, thank you.
Sir, you're not even discussing the topic.
I know, he's off his rocker. He's off his rocker, Dolores.
What? I can't believe that there's a human being like this, and that a mom would hire him?
Well, I...
You've got to be kidding me. Those mom workers need to be fired.
Well, they did fire
him. Because they obviously are sleeping on the job.
Well, they fired him, but I guess a little too late. Sorry.
Thank you.
Phil Henry Show.